You're listening to Wear Talk on 89.3 KPCC. In fewer than 20 minutes, Governor Gavin Newsom is scheduled to give his daily noon news conference. He'll be taking reporters' questions and also talking about a number of pressing issues in the response to COVID-19. But first, politics with our analyst Nomiki Konst of Matriarch Organization, which works with progressive working women to run for Congress. She's also the host of The Nomiki Show on YouTube. And Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. He's also senior fellow at Pepperdine's Davenport Institute. Well, not surprisingly, like everything else in our world, COVID-19 has become highly politicized. One of the major sources of criticism of President Trump has been by those who say he should use the full authority of the Defense Production Act to order specific manufacturers to make badly needed medical equipment. Pete Peterson, first of all, you think that's a fair criticism of the president?
Well, it may be fair to a point, but I think there's a growing number of responses from the private sector that are showing that while it would seem to make sense that America can make almost anything, in fact, we can't. Especially as it relates to the PPE, the ventilators, and the types of equipment and supplies that would be necessary to respond to the current crisis. So much of our supply chain, whether it's in materials or manufacturing, remains outside the country. And so simply declaring that General Motors should make this or Intel should make that will not necessarily precipitate the creation of those supplies. There was a great piece in Wired magazine just in the last day or so showing that for many of these very highly technical pieces of machinery, or even the highly medical supplies that we're talking about, like N95 masks, you simply just cannot command those into supply. And so I think in large part what we're experiencing is a greater awareness of how global our economy is, particularly our supply chain.
And the vulnerability in that. Nomiki, I wanted to ask you about just, you know, the philosophical difference that we're seeing here, where you've got many critics of the federal government and of this administration saying that more needs to be done at the federal level, including Dr. Anthony Fauci's call for a national stay-at-home order, that the federal government through the CDC should have been in charge of procurement and distribution of all the ventilators and surgical masks and all the different equipment, that should have been centralized at the federal government. Then you've got folks on the other side of that who say this is much better to be dealt with on the local level, that there are differences state to state, and you don't want to put all the eggs in the federal basket, because then if they mess up, everything is messed up across the country. Your thoughts about how this, you know, it's sort of an ideological fault line here.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, if there's anything that has shown our political differences at its core in this country, it is this crisis. I mean, it's almost we have this states' rights libertarian ideology that's creeping up even against neoconservative Republicans who are in some ways siding with the socialists of this country right now, which is quite revealing. I think from my perspective, obviously progressives want to have some sort of uniform system so that we can more effectively and quickly respond to the needs and the crises in each state. Sure, Arizona is dealing with a different crisis than New York City, but the cases spill over. It's not like COVID stops at the borderlines of Arizona and New Mexico or other states that are more conservative. So at the end of the day, I mean, bringing it back to philosophies, I think what your guest has just mentioned about the trade deals, I mean, this is something ideologically that has been fought between the left and the right, these trade deals are having a serious consequence during these crises, just as not having instituted Medicare for All or having, more oversight over Wall Street. So we're not in this predicament where companies and major companies are living quarter to quarter, which is affecting the economy. So, these are the kinds of ideologies that have been debated for a reason for these moments of crisis.
Dean Peterson, one of the things that I find so interesting, too, is how each side on the healthcare issue sees in what's unfolded here evidence backing their view. So you've got some people who say, well, this shows how if you had a Medicare for All system, that you wouldn't have all the cracks in the system that you do now, and the federal government could assure a higher quality of care. And then people on the other side say, well, look at the debacle in the UK, where it's a government-run healthcare system, and it's centralized there, and they can't get the stuff out to the hospitals, and that's a country tiny compared to the geographic spread of the U.S. I mean, it's very interesting how each side sort of sees in this crisis evidence to support how they see the issue.
It is. You're right, Larry. And of course, one of the countries that's faced this crisis with the greatest implications in Italy has something similar to a healthcare for all plan, and it's operating already. So there certainly are great questions that are being raised and will continue to be raised about our national healthcare policy in the country that are being highlighted, if not exposed and revealed, by this crisis. And I'm sure they're going to affect. It's going to be one of the very important changes, or at least a set of policy discussions that are going to happen in our post-COVID-19 world. I think everything from our international relations to our domestic policies, and I say this as a dean of a policy school, are going to be scrutinized and changed in many of the same ways that our post-9/11 world, both in domestic policy and foreign policy, changed fairly radically because of that crisis. And of course, I think many of us would agree that the current COVID-19 crisis from a policy perspective has even much greater implications for policy than 9/11 did.
We'll continue our conversation with Pepperdine Dean Pete Peterson and Nomiki Konst of Matriarch, a progressive organization which identifies working class women and supports their runs for Congress. She's the host of the Nomiki Show on YouTube as well. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. As you undoubtedly know, the Democratic National Convention is going to be delayed into August, where it'll be the week immediately prior to the Republican convention. But I think Joe Biden over the weekend was musing that they may have to do the conventions virtually, that you may not be able to have the party conventions in person, depending on what's going on with COVID-19. Voting, of course, could be challenging. And you have, in California, we have widespread vote by mail that's available. And Democrats want to see vote by mail as a nationwide thing. They see it as beneficial to expanding the turnout for Democrats in the election. And one of the things that's been proposed is states going to full vote by mail in advance of November. Nomiki Konst, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, Republicans say this opens up the door for, vote harvesting and for there to be abuses that come with this. Do you think that doing full-on vote by mail is something that would better democracy?
I mean, I don't think we have a choice at this point. I think, we have to be very honest with ourselves. All medical experts, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, are saying we are most likely going to be battling this over the next, year in different waves. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be staying at home for the next year, but, at least until there's some sort of vaccine. So if we want to preserve our democracy, which I believe you know, take one layer off of this crisis right now, our democracy is already weakened. You know, these are the prime opportunities for authoritarian types, people who want to take away your rights, that, you know, are determined constitutionally, are at risk right now. And so I don't think this is the time to be talking about voter fraud when it is rarely there's any precedent for it. And if there has been, it is such a small number that it is inconsequential, just as regular voting with IDs has a very similar rate. So, you know, this is a Republican ploy to keep turnout down, which, of course, you know, has been going on for decades, you know, at least since we started gerrymandering. And I think, you know, we have to take a serious have a serious conversation about what kinds of rights they're taking on right now while everybody is distracted with a major crisis.
Pete Peterson, your thoughts about full national vote by mail?
Well, I disagree with it, but I can start with the premise that COVID-19 should not prevent people from voting. At least I can certainly agree with Namiki on this, that a crisis of this nature should not impede people's ability to participate in the democratic process. Having said that, there's a reason that there are only 5 states in America that conduct their elections in automatic vote by mail, and those happen to be both what you might call red and blue states. They're understood to maintain some of the best voting administration systems in the nation, from the quality of their voter rolls to the support for vote by mail in their printing and mailing and counting. This is as much an administration problem as it is as one of ballot integrity, and it's one that we really should take seriously. California, even LA County, as a story I'm sure you've covered, Larry, has well over 1 million out-of-date voter files in its own county system. That means that at least a certain percentage of those are being mailed vote-by-mail ballots. It should be concerning to all voters, the quality of our voter rolls, and it should be taken into account how on a state-by-state basis certain states can handle vote-by-mail, and certain states just simply can't at this stage.
All right. Let's talk a bit about how all this factors into the presidential race. Namiki, Joe Biden is trying to find his footing in this era in which he can criticize the Trump administration's response to COVID-19, but doesn't come across as looking for political advantage in a national crisis. And of course, President Trump is out there every day facing heavy criticism for being sideways from his own public health experts. How do you see this to this point affecting the race?
Well, you know, Joe Biden needs to be out there every single day as well. And I think Democrats in particular, and let's not forget the primary is still not over, and Joe Biden has to win over progressives who I think have been frustrated with the process for many reasons, you know, aside from this crisis, basically suspending, you know, the presidential primaries for the most part. I think he has to be out there as to show Democrats, show his base that, you know, he is somebody that they can believe in. And he has yet to really do that. He has yet to come up with solutions that really capture this moment. He has yet to, I mean, even with things like showing up at the polls for the primaries, he was siding with Republican governors in Florida and Arizona saying, yeah, you can show up, just a couple of weeks ago when the CDC was saying, you know, more than 10 people should not be showing up at any function. And so I think, you know, they need to speed up. They have a very large campaign. They have a lot of money. They don't have to institute boots on the ground anymore for knocking on doors. They really should be capturing this moment and showing how they are different than Donald Trump. Otherwise, if you don't have an excited base in Democratic, in a general election on the Democratic side, you don't win. That is what history says. If you don't have your base, if you don't have record number of young people and record number of working people, you don't win.
All right. Pete Peterson, quick thought on this.
Well, there was a great piece in The Atlantic by the progressive Alex Wagner, and the title of which was Stay Alive, Joe Biden. And essentially her argument was really an anyone but Trump argument. And to Namiki's case, that certainly might drive millions of people to the polls, but will it drive enough? This really is on Trump now and his handling of this crisis. That's really going to determine the election, the fate of the election in the fall.
Thank you both so much for being with us. That's Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine School of Public Policy, and Nomiki Konst of the progressive organization Matriarch. I just wanted to take a moment. Late last week, the New York Times published a really nice obituary for the mother of our KPECC producer, Paul Glickman. Harriet Glickman died just over a week ago at the age of 93. She was a wonderful friend of this program. She would email me about segments that we did. I love talking with her. Just a wonderful, wonderful presence and energy and lover of news and public policy. But she has a great claim to fame, which the New York Times obituary details. I'd encourage you to read it. But it's back in 1968 when she wrote a letter to cartoonist Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, encouraging him in that tumultuous year of 68 to add an African-American character to his cast of Peanuts. And a wonderful response from Schulz, concerned about it appearing to be pandering, but he actually did it, and Franklin was created, a beloved character in the Peanuts family. And that's Harriet Glickman that we have to thank for that. Harriet, boy, we're going to miss you. What a wonderful presence in Southern California. From all of us at AirTalk, have a great day.